Welcome to the deep dive. We have a massive industry-shifting topic today.
Yeah, we really do.
Because yesterday, March 3, 2026, Apple dropped a press release that caught basically everyone off guard.
Completely out of nowhere.
Right. I mean, there was no theatrical keynote in Cupertino, no dramatic music, no one more thing flashing on a giant screen. They just quietly published this highly technical drop for the M5 Pro and M5 Max chips. And pre-orders are actually live today, March 4.
With hardware shipping to customers next week on March 11th, it's an incredibly aggressive timeline.
Exactly. And that is exactly our focus today. We're pulling from this incredibly detailed transistor-level breakdown published by Tech &
A
Analysis.
great report.
It is. And it has this really provocative title: Apple M5 Max Deep Dive. Apple just divorced the cloud.
Which is a bold claim.
Very bold. So our mission for today's deep dive is to cut through all the inevitable tech hype and figure out two things for you, the listener. First, is this ridiculously expensive new architecture actually a mandatory upgrade for you? And second, we need to investigate Tekin's claim that the future of massive AI processing isn't in some remote server farm, but sitting locally right in your backpack.
Right. Because whether you are a developer compiling massive code bases or a video editor or just someone who loves tracking where the cutting edge of tech is heading, this fundamentally changes how local hardware handles massive information.
Absolutely. So set the stage for us. What are we actually looking at here?
Well, what's fascinating here is that we are not looking at your standard year-over-year iterative update.
For the usual 10% speed bump.
Exactly. The usual marketing spin to justify a new product cycle. What Apple has engineered into the M5 Max represents a fundamental architectural philosophy change. They are trying to take the heavy, complex workloads that historically required massive, power-hungry data centers and physically move that compute capability right onto your desk.
Okay, let's unpack this by looking at the physical foundation. Tech & Analysis is actually calling this an M1 moment for the industry.
Which is high praise.
It is, and it's largely because of what they're calling a fusion architecture. Because for the first time in a consumer laptop, Apple has moved to a 2.5D chiplet design.
Which is a huge structural leap. They're stepping away from the traditional monolithic chip, where everything is just baked onto one giant piece of silicon. And instead, they're taking two separate processing dies and physically linking them together.
Right. But gluing two chips together isn't exactly a brand new concept, right?
Right.
I mean, AMD have been doing this for years with their ePyc server processors, and Intel does it with their Xeon
Sure,
Lineup.
in the server space, yeah.
But usually, when you split a processor into multiple pieces like that, you introduce a latency penalty. The data literally has to travel further across a physical gap.
Yeah.
So how is Apple avoiding that bottleneck in a laptop?
That is the exact engineering hurdle they had to clear, and it comes down to the manufacturing process and the linkage. They're using TSMC's N3P node, that's the third generation of the 3-nanometer process,
Okay.
which right off the bat gives them a 15 to 25% higher transistor density compared to the M4. But to address the latency you mentioned, the real magic is the silicon interposer connecting those two individual dies.
So for you listening, think of an interposer like a microscopic multi-lane superhighway built underneath the chips. It allows these two separate cities of processing power to trade data so fast that the operating system doesn't even know they're separated.
It basically treats them as one giant metropolis.
Exactly.
And the speed of that superhighway is staggering. It has a bandwidth of 2 terabytes per second.
2 terabytes? That's absurd.
It really is. So that latency penalty that usually plagues chiplet designs is effectively non-existent here. But the real reason this matters to you, the heavy user, is thermal distribution, because heat is the ultimate enemy of sustained performance in a laptop.
Right, because if a chip gets too hot, the system just aggressively throttles the performance so the machine doesn't physically melt.
Precisely. So by taking the processing load and distributing it across two smaller, physically distinct dies, rather than forcing it all through one massive central hotspot, the thermal load is spread out.
That makes sense.
Each die can independently manage its frequency based on the workload. So for professionals out there pushing heavy code compiles or brutal 8K video timelines, this means the computer can sustain its absolute peak performance clock speeds for much longer. You are literally saving minutes per render without your laptop spinning up its fans like a jet engine.
So the thermal headroom is solved by splitting the chip. But what is Apple actually doing with all that extra breathing room? That brings us to the CPU layout, which the report calls the super core paradigm.
This is where the benchmarks get wild.
Well, they do. The M5 Max is rocking an 18-core CPU. that's broken down into 6 of these new supercores and 12 performance cores. And looking at the Geekbench 6 numbers, the single-thread performance hits roughly 3,850.
Which is up from about 3,550 on the M4 Max.
Right, but the multi-thread score is what completely jumped off the page for me. It hits about 28,000.
Yeah.
That is a massive leap from the 22,000 we saw on the M4 Max.
A 30% jump in multi-threaded performance in a single generation is historically highly unusual. Usually engineers fight tooth and nail just to squeeze out an 8 or 10% gain.
And according to the breakdown, the secret weapon driving those numbers is the architecture inside those 6 supercores. Each one integrates a dedicated 48-megabyte L2 cache.
That is an enormous pool of memory sitting directly adjacent to the core.
Exactly. But the really wild addition is the neural network-based branch predictor.
This is a brilliant piece of engineering. Branch prediction is essentially the CPU trying to guess what instructions the software is going to ask for next.
It's like a chess player trying to think 5 moves ahead. So when the opponent finally makes a move, the response is already keyed up and ready to go.
That's a great analogy. And by baking a localized hardware-level AI model right into the CPU to handle that guessing game, the processor's accuracy skyrockets. It fetches the necessary data before the application even fully requests it.
Wow.
That is why highly complex, unpredictable tasks like processing dense game logic or live audio rendering are measurably faster now than on competing chips.
But out of all these CPU specs, the one that Tech and Analysis highlights as their golden insight isn't actually a speed metric. It's an efficiency metric.
The power draw.
Yes. The M5 Max is delivering that massive 30% increase in raw multi-threaded performance, but it's doing it while consuming 10 watts less power.
It's incredible.
The total thermal design power, or TDP, of the package is 65 watts. The M4 Max required 75 watts to do 30% less work.
It's an efficiency equation that the competition simply cannot touch right now. Squeezing out that much raw computational power while dropping the power ceiling is a massive triumph. For you, the end user, this directly translates to extending your battery life during heavy workloads, maintaining a dramatically quieter machine, and leaving more thermal headroom for the GPU to spin up.
Speaking of the GPU, here's where it gets really interesting. We are looking at up to 40 graphics cores on the M5 Max. But the big reveal wasn't just the core count. It's the fact that every single one of those 40 cores now contains a dedicated neural accelerator physically built into it.
Which represents Apple's most aggressive graphics shift since they transitioned to Apple Silicon in the first place.
The benchmarks are wild here, too. Ray tracing performance alone is up 35% compared to the M4 Max. And for AI compute running specifically on the GPU, we are looking at a 4x increase.
4 times the speed.
Yeah. The metal benchmark score hits an absurd 185,000.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, placing a neural accelerator inside every single GPU core fundamentally alters how graphics and visual data are rendered. Normally, the GPU has to bounce complex AI visual calculations back to the central processing unit or the dedicated neural engine.
Which creates a bottleneck.
Right. It introduces latency.
Yeah.
But now, these units handle incredibly complex mathematical tasks directly at the graphics level. We're talking about true on-device AI image upscaling, which is Apple's direct hardware-level answer to NVIDIA's DLSS technology.
Yeah.
They can do real-time image denoising and neural graphics rendering instantly, right where the pixels are being generated.
To give you a practical, real-world application of what that actually means if you spend your day in creative software, the report highlighted a specific stress test using Final Cut Pro 11.
This was a great test.
They took a massive 8K ProRes video project and layered heavy AI-powered visual effects on top of it. On the M4 Max, which is already a beast of a machine, that export took 45 minutes. On the M5 Max, purely because those localized neural accelerators are handling the visual effects rendering at the hardware level, that exact same export dropped to under 20 minutes.
That's less than half the time.
You don't need a massive desktop rig to do heavy visual AI work anymore.
And you definitely won't melt your laptop while you render that 8K video sitting in your backpack thanks to that chiplet thermal distribution we talked about. But there is a catch.
Always a catch.
To feed a 40-core GPU that is processing that volume of high-resolution visual and AI data simultaneously, you need a data pipeline that can keep up.
Which brings us to the memory architecture. The specs here are almost hard to comprehend for a laptop form factor. The M5 Max supports up to 128 gigabytes of unified LPDDR5X memory. And if you get the 40-core GPU variant, that memory operates with a bandwidth of 614 gigabytes per second.
Let's contextualize that number. Because 614 gigabytes per second sounds like abstract marketing math until you look at the strict physical requirements for modern AI.
Right.
If you're a developer and you want to run a massive state-of-the-art open source model locally, something like Llama 3.17 Ziri, which has 70 billion parameters, you face a severe hardware bottleneck.
Because you physically need at least 60 gigabytes of high bandwidth memory just to load the model's weights into the RAM before you can even ask it a single question.
Exactly. Most consumer laptops, and even many high-end desktops, completely choke on that requirement because they either don't have enough total memory, or the memory they do have is too slow to feed the processor. The M5 Max delivers this capability natively.
Without needing a giant, discrete GPU card taking up half your PC case.
Exactly.
And this leads right into the biggest realization of the entire Tech and Analysis report. They call this the hidden signal in Apple's entire strategy. Right now, if you are a developer or a company actively building tools on a 70 billion parameter model, you are likely hitting an API provided by OpenAI or AWS or Azure.
And every time you query that cloud server, it costs you money.
Heavy users are easily spending roughly $2,000 every single month just on API compute costs.
It's essentially a digital rent that you have to pay indefinitely.
Exactly. But Apple is actively building a hardware ecosystem designed to sever that dependency. By giving you the localized memory bandwidth to run that massive model smoothly on your own hardware, your monthly API cost instantly drops to zero.
It is the first truly serious structural blow to the cloud AI economy from a consumer hardware company. Apple isn't just selling you a faster computer, they are selling you outright independence from cloud server rental fees.
But the GPU and the memory aren't the only components handling machine learning. The M5 Max also features a next-generation 16-core neural engine. It now has a much wider direct connection to that unified memory pool. And for dedicated on-device AI tasks, Apple claims this new neural engine is 4 times faster than the M4 Max.
And this is where the everyday usability of the machine completely transforms. The neural engine is specifically architected to run the background features built into macOS Tahoe.
Things like the real-time multilingual transcription of system audio, instantaneous background removal and high-resolution FaceTime calls, and generating intelligent summaries of massive email threads. All of that happens natively in the background.
And the major advantage here is twofold: power efficiency and data privacy.
Right.
When a dedicated neural engine is quietly handling those background AI tasks, it only consumes about 3 watts of power. If the operating system tried to force the GPU to handle those exact same localized tasks, it would pull around 30 watts, so your battery life is preserved. But more crucially, zero data ever leaves your machine.
That is a stark contrast to the models used by Google Gemini or Microsoft Copilot. With those ecosystems, your queries and your contextual data generally have to be pinged to a cloud server to be processed. Tech and Analysis points out that for enterprise users, or anyone handling sensitive data, Apple's approach of keeping the processing strictly offline is a massive security advantage.
You're protecting your data, keeping your workflow offline, and doing it efficiently.
So what does this all mean when it comes time to actually configure a machine and open your wallet? Because let's be clear, none of this engineering comes cheap.
None at all.
Let's look at the pricing. The entry point for the MacBook Pro 14-inch with the binned M5 Max, which gives you the 32-core GPU version with 48 gigabytes of RAM and a 1 terabyte drive, starts at $3,599.
Okay.
If you step up to the 16-inch version with the unbinned 40-core GPU, 64 gigs of RAM, and 2 terabytes of storage, it jumps to $3,899. And if you want the fully loaded 16-inch model, maxing it out with a full 128 gigabytes of unified memory and an 8 terabyte SSD, you are looking at a staggering $7,349.
You might need a second mortgage for that fully loaded model.
Seriously.
It is an immense amount of money for a laptop.
Yeah.
However, we have to evaluate the value proposition based on the specific market Apple is targeting.
Right, they aren't targeting the average user typing up a Word document with a $7,300 machine.
Exactly. If you are an AI developer or a high-end visual effects artist, the comparable hardware required to do this level of local, massive-scale AI work is typically an NVIDIA DGX workstation.
And those are not cheap.
No, those systems cost around $40,000. So when you factor in the $2,000 a month you are potentially saving by not paying API access fees for cloud compute, that $7,349 MacBook Pro pays for itself in under 2 years. It's an investment that generates a hard, calculable return for a specific professional class.
Which naturally leads to the rest of the industry.
Yeah.
Are the competitors answering this localized computing shift?
This raises an important question about the current landscape. Tekken's competitive comparison is quite revealing. You have the Qualcomm Snapdragon X Elite 2 out there. On paper, it actually boasts a stronger neural processing unit hitting 75 TOPS, or trillions of operations per second, compared to Apple's 38 TOPS on their neural engine.
Okay, so they win on paper.
But Qualcomm is severely held back by a Windows on ARM software ecosystem that simply cannot fully utilize that hardware yet.
Hardware doesn't mean much if the software can't speak its language efficiently.
Precisely. Then you look at the Intel Core Ultra 200V. It just can't match Apple's single-thread performance, and it consumes significantly more power under heavy loads. And finally, the AMD Ryzen AI 400 series features a much weaker integrated GPU and a more limited shared memory pool, meaning it simply can't load those massive 70 billion parameter models locally the way the M5 Max can.
So, bringing all of this highly technical source material together, we land on Tekken Analysis' final verdict. They gave the M5 Max a phenomenal value score of 9 out of 10.
Very high score.
They called it the best performance per watt ratio in the history of silicon. But their bottom line purchasing advice for you is pretty straightforward. If you are currently working on an older M1 or an M2 machine, they consider this a mandatory structural upgrade, especially if you are a local AI professional, an 8K video editor, or a massive Logic Pro user. The jump to the Fusion architecture alone makes it worth it. However, if you recently dropped cash on an M4 Max, and you do not specifically need to run massive 70 billion parameter AI models offline, their advice is to hold on to your cash and wait to see what the M6 brings.
It's a very rational, grounded purchasing guide. But looking past just the benchmark numbers and the upgrade cycles, the sheer power of the M5 Max introduces a lingering, almost counterintuitive problem for the future.
What do you mean?
Well, think about the broader implications of this divorce from the cloud. If consumer hardware like the M5 Max continues to empower users to run massive 70 billion parameter models locally in their backpacks with zero latency and total privacy, what happens to the multi-trillion dollar cloud data center economy in the next 5 years?
Oh, wow.
Are we witnessing the peak of the cloud era right now? Because if all this heavy lifting shifts back to local devices, those massive server farms might suddenly find themselves with a lot less work to do.
That is an incredible and slightly terrifying thought to end on. It fundamentally changes how we think about the future of tech infrastructure. Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive into the M5 Max. We hope this helped you cut through the tech jargon and understand exactly what yesterday's drop means for your workflow and the future of your local hardware. Keep questioning the technology around you, and we'll see you on the next deep dive.